From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 19th, 2025. On today's show, Idaho lawmakers will today debate whether to axe the state's voter-approved Medicaid expansion as they look to cut costs. Plus, Spokane County and City have buried the hatchet after a protracted and at times bitter dispute over 911 calls. And Spokane County will bring down the maximum number of cases its public defenders can take on each year. But the attorneys say it's not enough as they try to balance caseloads and providing adequate defense for their clients. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. The future of Idaho's Medicaid expansion program is up for debate this morning in Boise. James Dawson has this preview.
The Idaho DOGE Task Force has already floated the idea of eliminating Medicaid expansion in the state as a way to save millions of taxpayer dollars. State lawmakers budgeted $91.7 million from the general fund for the program in the current fiscal year. Federal tax dollars cover 90% of the bill. Nearly half of the roughly 81,000 people enrolled under Medicaid expansion work, but earn too much to qualify for traditional Medicaid coverage. Ever since voters opted into the expansion program with 61% of the vote in 2018, GOP lawmakers have debated repealing it or limiting participation. Any repeal or tweak to the program would need approval from both the legislature and Governor Brad Little. The task force will take up the issue at 9 a.m. this morning at the Idaho Capitol. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
Washington's governor wants more than $240 million to invest in housing and a new cabinet-level housing department. Bob Ferguson yesterday put out his supplemental budget proposal ahead of the 2026 legislative session. In that framework, most of the $244 million would go toward the Housing Trust Fund, including $81 million to develop new affordable housing, $73 million to build units for first-time home buyers, and $20 million for mobile and manufactured home communities. There's also $50 million that would go to housing preservation, including flood repairs. Ferguson also signed an executive order that takes the first steps towards starting a state Department of Housing. It creates a task force to develop recommendations for the legislature, which would ultimately be responsible for creating the new state department. Leaders from Spokane City, County, and the Regional Emergency Call Center are celebrating that they finally negotiated their way out of a bitter disagreement over 911 calls. Spokane Regional Emergency Communications, or SREC, gets to boot the city out, but it's giving Spokane 2 years to set up a city-specific emergency call system. Spokane United 911 Network is set to be fully operational by 2028. Mayor Lisa Brown says city and county citizens will not experience any disruption to services between now and that start date.
I think when agreements like this happen, sometimes people say, well, who won? And I just want to say the public. Public safety is who won.
County Commissioner Chris Jordan celebrated that the dispute is over.
For years, regional leaders have been at odds with each other over how our 911 is set up and how it's paid for. One big takeaway from the agreement is that the county, the city, and SREC are no longer fighting about how to fairly share sales and excise taxes that support 911 emergency communications.
Spokane City Council President Betsy Wilkerson says she's happy to have avoided a legal battle.
After we had negotiated, we told the lawyers to get out of the way. We said, don't screw this up. We have come to an agreement on the benefit of our citizens.
The city had argued it wasn't getting its fair share of 911 excise tax and sales tax revenue. The new interlocal agreement will slowly shift proportionate funds from the regional service to the city-specific call center. The city will begin building its answering service in 2026. It will gradually take over, starting with crime check calls in October. The city of Spokane is re-upping its agreement with Spokane County Animal Protection Services, but it's asking scraps to take every reasonable step to avoid euthanizing dogs only because of shelter capacity issues. City Council passed a new interlocal agreement in a special legislative meeting yesterday. It says if Scraps is considering euthanizing a dog only because of space concerns, it must give the city 3 days' notice if that dog was picked up within city limits. It also says the Scraps executive director must give express permission for all euthanasias. The new ILA comes a few years after animal advocates accused Scraps of euthanizing dogs that weren't dangerous. Spokane County is expected to sign on in early January. State regulators are looking into claims that some farm workers in the Skagit Valley were kept on duty during the catastrophic flooding last week in western Washington. KUOW's Monica Nicholsberg reports.
As an advocate with Community to Community, it's Lucy Madigal's job to check on farm workers in the Skagit Valley. So when she heard reports that workers were in the Brussels sprout fields at Skagit Valley Farm after dark last Wednesday, she went out to see for herself. Madigal says she saw workers operating heavy machinery in the mud after an evacuation order was issued for the area.
I feel upset and sad of like the fact that it's always farm workers that get left behind. Like everybody else gets to go home, prepare for the worst, but yet why are there still workers outside working?
The next morning, an advocate she works with saw workers processing potatoes at Knudsen Farms. The State Department of Labor and Industries has opened an investigation into the claims.
That was KUOW's Monica Nicholsberg. Skagit Valley Farm did not respond to a request for comment. A massive power outage, heavy rains, and flooding. That's what Leavenworth has dealt with for the past week. But Northwest Public Broadcasting's Murrow News fellow Renee Diaz reports the town remains open for visitors.
Christmas is one of the busiest times of the year in the Bavarian-style tourist town of Leavenworth. But last week, a storm knocked out power across the area. It left the town dark for several days. Mayor Carl Florey says Leavenworth's power is back on now.
There's just a lot of debris and downed trees and branches. But the good news is the downtown core are sustained very little damage, and so it's back up and the lights are back on.
Rebecca Watkins owns Nussknacker House. When the power was out last week, she used flashlights to keep her shop open.
This is the time when we make the majority of our money so that we can pay the rest of our bills. The second weekend of December is typically the busiest weekend for us.
Roads are being repaired in the surrounding area. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
Spokane County is slowly decreasing the maximum caseloads for its public defenders. But SPR's Eliza Billingham reports, those attorneys say the relief is not coming fast enough.
Public defenders in Spokane County can currently work a maximum of 150 felony cases or 300 misdemeanor cases each year. The Washington State Supreme Court said those caps must be brought down to 47 and 120, respectively, within the next decade. Cases are typically weighted by complexity, meaning a highly complex case could count as 4 or 5 or 8 cases. The state allows counties to determine their own weighting systems. Spokane County Commissioners approved a new system that increases each case's weight, but not as much as the State Bar Association recommends. Public defenders like Dawson Osborne say the new system still won't decrease attorneys' workload enough.
I have 49 concurrent felony cases today as I stand here. If I were able to only work on those cases, didn't have to do any of the administrative time, I would have less than 3 hours per month per case to work on felony cases. The time required to complete these serious, complex cases means that cases would be pending for more than 7 years. But that's not what happens.
Other public defenders have told the commissioners they're worried they can't provide the effective defense the U.S. Constitution demands because of their workloads. County commissioners said this isn't the last action they'll take, but it's the only action they can afford without more state funding. State legislators have just introduced a package of bills aimed at increased funding, oversight, and partnerships. I'm Eliza Billingham reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by James Dawson, Eliza Billingham, Monica Nicholsberg, Renee Diaz, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also the host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.